Taiwan is a major threat to any conceivable world order.
ما اعتقاد به بمب اتم نداریم، به سلاح اتمی نداریم، دنبالش هم نخواهیم رفت. بر طبق مبانی ما، مبانی اعتقادی ما، مبانی دینی ما، به کار بردن این گونه وسایل کشتار جمعی اصلا ممنوعه، حرامه.
All your fighters, all your tanks, and all your soldiers against the boy holding a stone, standing there all alone. In his eyes, I see the sun. In his smile, I see the moon. And I wonder, who is weak and who is strong? Who is right and who is wrong? And I wish, I only wish that the truth has a tongue.
Hello, welcome back to Press TV's Extended Coverage. We want to take a look at Bahrain's situation and the revolution there. We're looking at what has happened in terms of the arrests, detentions, and the number of deaths. Let's see, in order to give you a roundup. So far, over 500 leaders, activists, including 17 women. This is part of the daily harassments and use of excessive force by military and security forces against the villages and at checkpoints. So far has rounded up the figures that I just mentioned to you. This, of course, is part of the ongoing crackdown that has been going on in Bahrain, which the forces are exercising backed by Saudi troops. Now, in terms of the detained, it's rather alarming because the figure keeps going up, but we have over 500 that has been rounded up within days of that state of national safety, which they have called it, which is the martial law imposed in Bahrain. Among the arrested, teachers, lawyers, bloggers, doctors, poets, artists, etc., as you could imagine. And, of course, that includes political activists. And another incident that has happened in the past 48 hours is the sacking of thousands who are working at government institutions that has raised alarms. In the political side, we have had reports that the Crown Prince has asserted his support for reform, but at the same time has warned about attempts to divide the Persian Gulf island, and that he said it would not be tolerated. And also, as evidence from what you're seeing on the screen, news keeps coming in, there's breaking news coming in that Bahraini police have attacked protesters with rubber bullets and tear gas. So the violence and the form and the way it's exercised continues in Bahrain. So much so that Human Rights Watch, along with a number of other rights organizations, have come out issuing a statement. This is a coalition of global advocacy groups, which includes Amnesty International and the International Commission of Jurists, that there needs to be quick action on the wide-scale violation of rights of governments and security forces in Bahrain. At this point, let me bring in Mohammed Al-Muscati, who's head of the Youth Society on Human Rights, who joins us from Manama. Mohammed Al-Muscati, thanks for joining us. Looking at the human rights violations and abuses that is taking place, there seems to be a momentum in terms of the international community of this coalition of global advocacy groups, 19-member coalition. So maybe we're seeing something happen, but again, a little too late, and given that they're still continuing. So what is your perspective about the human rights violations taking place and, of course, the activities by the international, the different international groups of these advocacy groups?
actually about the coalitions and the international community. Actually, there is a number of international organizations asked the Human Rights Council to have a discussing about the human rights violation in Bahrain. But as you know, the Human Rights Council is there is a number of Arab and Islamic countries that against discussing about human rights violation in Bahrain. So people here are very upset about what happened in the Human Rights Council and how the Human Rights Council dealing with the situation in Bahrain. We're asking the Human Rights Council to take the responsibility of discussing about the situation in Bahrain, especially that the Human Rights, the High Commission for Human Rights issued a lot of statements about medical and about human rights defenders.
When we look at this report that came through revealing about this coalition of the advocacy groups, they announced that the main barrier to getting the rights body into a session and just to form that session was the failure of the European Union and the United States to decide on their stance. I mean, after all that's happened, why would there even be a failure of having a stance on the issue by the EU and the United States?
Actually, I think they're dealing with something called support you and support me in the future. So all people, all the countries, they want to support countries. So in the future, this country support them when they discussing the human rights violation in their country. And that's happened especially with Arabs and Islamic countries when they are trying to support each other and also some of the Western countries.
When we look at the reaction by, in the Muslim world and the respective countries that obviously are part of that, we can see that Muslims have come out in general, voicing their concern and, of course, the crackdown that is being exercised in terms of the excessiveness and the extent of it. But we rarely hear about countries from the Muslim world to have come out. We know Iran has mentioned their concern. There were protests held in Iraq also. Also in Europe, there have people that have come out. But in terms of the people from these countries, why hasn't there been more of a reaction in the Arab world in terms of what's going on inside Bahrain?
Yes, actually, a lot of countries are concerned and a lot of people are concerned about what happened in Bahrain. But there is Arab countries and Islamic countries who support what the action taken by the Bahraini authorities. And they don't want all this revolution be spread in their countries and affected in their countries. So we saw a lot of Islamic and Arab countries support what happened in Bahrain. But in the same time, we see some of the countries, Arab or Islamic countries, who concern about violation, violations against peaceful protesters.
And looking at the political side, the most recent news to have emerged is that the Crown Prince has asserted his support for reform. That was accompanied by a warning that it's not going to be tolerated in terms of any opposition, saying there can't be no leniency. But at the same time, he did not mention talks with the opposition in his remarks. How do you take that news?
Actually, what the conference said yesterday, he not mentioned the dialogue as a word. The dialogue as a word is not mentioned yesterday when he had speech. So I don't think so there is any more place or space for dialogue because the conference was the first one who was saying about the dialogue. And yesterday he didn't mention anything about dialogue. I don't think so. Anyone from the authorities will provide the dialogue to the opposition leader, and that meaning the authorities, they want to continue the crackdown. They don't want to solve the problem. The problem here in Bahrain is not the security problem. The problem here is the political problem or political issue. So security will not solving the political issue in Bahrain.
But at the same time, when you want to appease the Bahrainis, you should, I would think, stop the violence that occurs and open up dialogue, as a few weeks back, maybe a month at this point, where that door was open. But of course, what came into the picture was deemed an intervention, an occupation, and that was when the Saudi soldiers entered the picture. So how does that stand? At this point, a few weeks have passed, a couple weeks now, and the Saudi soldiers are still there. And I'm also, we've received reports of snipers being brought in from Pakistan, as we're seeing some of the breaking news of snipers and, of course, thugs inundating certain villages.
Yeah, actually, anyone who wants to have a dialogue, he must give up something to take the dialogue. But as we know, that nothing's still giving up. The same crackdown from 16th of March until now, nothing changed. Maybe we'll be worse. So any dialogue without changing with the reaction of the authorities, it will be not effective. How we can talking about dialogue and at the same time there is still arresting people, still arresting opposition leaders, human rights defenders, doctors, sports players, and nursing, human rights defenders, all of them still are arrested. So how we can say about dialogue and at the same time there is a huge number in the prison, another number missing, and still hundreds of people fired from their jobs. So there is no space for dialogue with all that reaction happened in Bahrain.
And I do need to mention that there is an international convention on the use of mercenaries, since Bahrain has used them. At least reports indicate that. But Bahrain has also refused to sign this international convention against the recruitment, use, financing, and training of mercenaries. Now, tell us, if you can, what role should the regional countries have? I mean, when we talk about regional countries, of course, there's this, what you call the PGCC, the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council, in which they have, against their charter, justified the use of Saudi troops to come under the pretext of a threat to Bahrain's security. Can you explain that a little bit for us first, actually, about this charter and how they went against what they said was foreign intervention, but in this case there was no foreign intervention. It was Bahrainis just wanting some reforms.
Yes, actually, before that, a lot of Pakistani and newspaper mentioned that the authorities here bring 1,000 from Pakistan to working in police, and that sure is against the international convention. About the GPC, we saw a speech for the Emir in Kuwait in 1984 that mentioned why they have this GCC force. He says this GCC force to be against the external threat and enemy. It's not against any internal threat. So that means that the GCC force, when they came to Bahrain, they came against the corporations and against the laws in the GCC countries. So how they can now dealing with what the Emir say in 1984 when he said this is is not against the internal issues, the external threat. I don't think so. Who came to Bahrain is the GCC forces. I think it's cooperation from countries. They want to crack down in one country because they are afraid to this revolution be affected their people.
Mohammed Al-Masqati, when we look at Bahrain's case, excuse me, the severity of the crackdown in each of the categories that spells violations of human rights is pretty deep, from the arbitrary detentions to the way the Bahraini security forces are handling the hospitals, rounding up wounded, which they assume were protesters, their destination unknown, whereabouts unknown, the types and methods of the crackdown they're using. The list goes on and on. Why is it that this is being exercised in the shape and manner that it is from Bahraini security forces backed by Saudi Arabia?
About the human rights violation, I want to mention something. The human rights violation not started after 16th of March. No, in Bahrain, the human rights violation from 2004. And human rights, we document a lot of human rights violations. So, as the authorities using torture or authorities using attacking gathering, is that this is not a new thing that happened in Bahrain. The problem is that the international media and international organizations not covered what happened in the past, and they think what happened in Bahrain is something new. We had a lot of documented from 2004 until now of human rights violation, especially arresting people and torture and attacking gatherings. So the problem now, all the people think that what happened in Bahrain is new, and some people say that what happened in Bahrain is accident. All that is wrong because we need to take the history of human rights violation in Bahrain.
Well, when we look at that aspect, as you mentioned, obviously there, the conclusion could be reached that there was under-reporting going on at that point. Obviously, there's a history that has gone on in Bahrain. Who is to fault for that? Is it the support that Bahrain gets? And of course, when I say that, obviously I have to bring in the United States there, who not only has his Fifth Fleet, but supplies military equipment and overall assistance, and of course the UK also, that provides Bahrain with military assistance.
See, anyone give 1% of support of Bahrain, he is involving in human rights violation. If you pay to them weapons, that means you are involving. If you give them, if you release a statement supporting what they did, that means you are involving. So everyone gets 1% of support, he is involved in what happened in Bahrain. And we will be taking action legally against everyone give support to Bahrain to using a violence against peaceful demonstrators. Because what they had, that means they also broken the international law. And not only the Bahrain authorities who broken this international law, but everyone support the Bahrain authorities also when it was involved in broken the international law.
You know, Mohammed Al-Masqati, when we look at the United States, inside the United States, there's been almost a blackout, we can even say, on the news coming out from Bahrain. And the reason why I'm bringing that into the picture, speaking to you, is for how much longer can a situation like this be maintained by Bahraini security forces before it amounts to the world taking action? Because as it is, and you're there in Manama, perhaps you can tell us, the momentum is still there from the protesters against the regime.
Yes, actually, when we saw one journalist, she spoke in the interview, and she told us that Obama reviews or gets orders to not coverage what happened in Bahrain, there is a bigger question why the USA administrative, they don't want to cover what happened in Bahrain. And also at the same time, when we saw the WikiLeaks scandal about the situation in Bahrain, it also mentioned why all the Western and all some of the Western countries, they don't want to pressure and lobbying against the authorities here.
But that puts into question the stance that they preach, and their stance being that they have been obviously behind democracy. And they have come out in terms of telling there needs to be dialogue, but at the same time, opposite to what happened in Egypt and Tunisia, they have never come out fully supporting the protesters. And there you have a double standard, don't you?
Democracy is not a word. Anyone can use it. Democracy, it is action. They must apply it in the country. So that means not anyone say that we want democracy that he mean it. No. Actually, who is applying the democracy, who doing the democracy, who take action to the democracy, that's who person we can say support behind of the democracy or support the democracy. So no, everyone in the world talking about democracy. Bahrain authorities talking about democracy. The dictatorship in the world talking about democracy. That doesn't mean that they mean the democracy. Who is taking action to support the democracy? He is behind of the spread the democracy in the world.
Okay, well, we appreciate that. We're going to leave it there. Thank you very much. Head of the Youth Society and Human Rights, Muhammad Al-Maskati, there with his statements from Manama. Of course, we'll give you more on Bahrain and all the other countries in the Middle East that are experiencing these uprisings. Stay tuned to international headlines in the form of news and brief coming up in a few minutes' time.